This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Regular listeners to this program know that I interview many authors, nonfiction authors, about their books, and we always have a good time doing it. Every once in a while, there's a book that comes down the pike that is so much fun for me personally that I really, really enjoy it, and I very much look forward to talking with the author. It's an honor to welcome back to this program author Lang Elliott, sound recordist, writer, photographer. His new book is The Frogs and Toads of North America, a comprehensive guide to their identification, behavior, and calls. Lang, welcome back to the program.
Well, hi there, Coy. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we also want to let folks know that this big old book, over 300 pages, comes with a CD where over 100 different sound recordings, and we're going to listen to some of those today, of different frogs and toads. And Lang, you went all over North America recording these things, right?
Well, not exactly. First of all, there's three authors on the book. Myself, Carl Gerhardt, who's a herpetologist at University of Missouri, and Carlos Davidson, who's at San Francisco State University. My role was to coordinate putting the whole book together, and yes, I did travel a lot gathering recordings and photographs, but mostly the eastern half of North America for me.
So you were the eastern North America guy.
I started the eastern guy in terms of content for the book. Carl Gerhardt had a lot of recordings from the east, but as well he's worked in Arizona. Carlos Davidson had recordings from the west coast, and then also we obtained a lot of recordings from other people, especially the western species that are a little harder to record because they're unpredictable in calling and spread out over a larger area.
Yeah. We're talking with author Lang Elliott. His books include The Songs of Insects, The Songs of Wild Birds, and many other book and CD packages. His latest is The Frogs and Toads of North America. There's also a website, frogconcertos.com. I'm going to have to order that one. So I have to start with this very basic question. What's the difference between a toad and a frog?
Well, that's not easy to answer because those are common names, and there's confusion when you look at the names of a lot of groups. But in general, what people call a toad is an amphibian, a frog-like amphibian that has dry skin, warty skin. So mostly what people think are referred to as a toad, member of the family Bufonidae, and includes the typical toads that we find in the garden, like the American toad or Fowler's toad. But that said, there's a group of anurans, which is a general term for the frogs and toads. It's a group of anurans called the spadefoots, and they're often referred to as spadefoot toads. They don't really have warty skin. There's another group called the narrow-mouthed toads. They're very small and have little pointed heads, and they are also smooth skin. So,
but they're still toads.
Toad can be used, depending on the group, in different ways.
And frogs are wet, right?
Yeah, and then frogs, in general, what you call a frog has smooth, wet skin, as opposed to the drier, warty skin.
Yeah.
But that doesn't apply, you know, when you look at some of these groups, because there are frogs that have much drier skin. So I don't have a really good, solid answer for that one.
Lang Elliott, the book is The Frogs and Toads of North America, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to listen to some of these creatures. But, Lang, I got to ask you, do you have any unforgettable moments from the field when you're out there at night in some of these swampy bogs recording these guys?
Well, being down there in Florida, wading around in my tennis shoes and shorts after green tree frogs and other species, only to realize that the little swamp I'm in is also the home to alligators that are 12 to 15 feet long.
Great.
that gets a little exciting. Actually, for the longest time, during my trips to Florida for sound recording and for photography, I just didn't worry about it. I figured, you know, I'm a big guy, about 200 pounds, and no alligator's going to mess with me, and I just didn't worry about it. And then subsequently started reading these articles about, you know, guys, 230-pound guy drug in by an alligator and arms ripped off and all that, and I started thinking maybe I wasn't too smart to be out there doing that.
Yeah, back to the birds, right?
Yeah, I think if I go back down, I'll be a little more careful than I was a decade ago.
No, before we listen to some of the sounds, do all of these frogs and toads make these sounds in the same way? Are they all doing sort of the same thing?
Well, basically, there's we defined about 100 species for North America, and there's argument about that. The taxonomists, the splitters would add a few more to that. The lumpers might add a few less, but we defined 100 species, and of those 100, in all but two, the males have mating calls that are used to attract females and other males to, like, the breeding spot. But there's two species, the tailed frogs out in the western mountains, especially the northwest and the northern Rockies, that don't have a mating call, and they live in fast-moving streams that are very noisy, and they're quite different than in their manner of mating. They find each other by other means, perhaps by sight or by smell, but not by sound.
And how do they make these sounds? What are they doing? Filling their mouths with air or what?
Yeah, it's generally a frog will have a thing called, this is the male, will have during breeding season a vocal pouch, which will be, he'll inflate his throat or will have pouches, like a pair of pouches, one to the right of the throat and one to the left. And when they call, the pouch expands or contracts or deflates, depending on how they're making the sound. In something like a spring peeper, which is a pretty common frog, they inflate the sac, and when they call, they force air from their vocal sac across their vocal cords into their lungs. And then they'll send the air back into the sac and then repeat that. So you'll see this, like a calling spring peeper giving repeated calls, you'll see the sac open and the midsection collapse. And then when they make the peep, the sac closes and the midsection expands.
Huh.
So it's like a closed system. Once they get the air in there, they just keep it in there. It's not coming out their nostrils. But something like an American toad shuttles air back and forth. It has a real long trill, and so air is moving back and forth across the vocal cords.
Do the females call as well, or just the males?
It's the males that generally call, that have the mating call or breeding call. The females may make subtle sounds, but nothing like the male. They don't have a mating call, no.
We're talking with Lang Elliott, sound recordist, writer, photographer. His new book is The Frogs and Toads of North America, co-written with Carl Gerhardt and Carlos Davidson. We're going to take a very quick break. When we get back, we will hear the American toad, the spring peeper, the bullfrog, and more with Lang Elliott. This is Charlottesville Right Now. About 13 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock. It's about 80 degrees here in central Virginia. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Let's rejoin our conversation with Lang Elliott. The book is The Frogs and Toads of North America. And without further ado, the American toad. Tell us first, Lang, what do we need to know about the American toad?
Well, over a good portion of the East, especially the Northeast, it's the common garden toad or toad you find around your house. And it's also the toad, it's one of my favorite among the frogs and toads. Henry David Thoreau had a really interesting diary entry that he began with the statement that said, "Today I heard the dream of the toad." And he's referring to the vocalization of the male. So why don't you go ahead and play it?
American toad. Bufo americanus.
Yes, the breeding call of the male is a long, dreamlike trill.
Wow.
And
is that just one deep breath?
That's one, yeah. Well, he pumps air in and then shuttles it back and forth during the trill. He has a vocal pouch that expands, and then the air is moving back and forth across the vocal cords between the lungs and the vocal pouch when he calls.
The next one we'll hear is Fowler's toad. What's that?
Well, Fowler's toad, also in the East, is a species that looks a lot like American toads, and in certain areas they're more common than American toads. But boy, they have a really different call. This one sounds sort of like a baby crying or vomiting. It's the opposite of melodic in comparison to the American toad. Why don't you give it a swing
toad.
There?
Bufo fowleri.
Wow.
Not quite what I'd call pretty.
No, goodness gracious.
But you know, the two species, the Fowler's toad and American toad, hybridize.
They made it, really?
Yeah, they crossbreed or hybridize, and you can get individuals that have calls that are intermediate between the two,
huh.
That are more trill-like, like the American toad, but have that harsh quality or aren't as long as the trill of the American toad.
The next one is the cane toad, also known as the marine toad.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of toads in North America, and a number of them have trills, some version of the American toad. And the cane toad or the marine toad is actually a South American species that just sneaks into North America along the South Texas border. It's also been introduced into southern Florida. But they can grow up to about 9 inches long.
Wow.
One of our biggest toads. And they also have a trill, but it's a low sort of clattering trill. But I really think it's beautiful sound.
It's almost like a fast woodpecker.
Yeah, it does sound like that. But I recorded that in the lower Rio Grande Valley after a hurricane.
Really?
And when they come out in great numbers, and also when they flood areas down there for irrigation, you might hear them calling.
Now, the next one we're going to hear, we're talking with Lang Elliott. The book is The Frogs and Toads of North America. This next one, folks around here in Central Virginia are very familiar with this one, and I hear it in the springtime behind my house. It's the loudest thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
What are the spring peepers?
Well, they are tiny little frogs in the chorus frog group called Pseudacris crucifer. Crucifer because it has a cross on its back, usually. But, you know, they're one of the most common frogs in the east, northeast, and have a really piercing bird-like whistle or peep. And spring peepers are up close. They really sort of distort your ear. They're hard on your ears. But from a distance, they sound really pretty.
Yeah, I will tell you, in the springtime, sitting on my deck, it is very, very loud.
They're a little too close.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm right next to a little lake, so yeah.
Well, you'll have to move your house.
Yeah. But I tell you what, this sound to me is Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You can always stuff a little toilet paper in your ears.
So next is the little grass frog.
Yeah, let's see how that comes across on the radio. That's a tiny little frog of the southeast that has the highest pitch song of all our frogs. It's insect-like, and it's way up there.
Lang, it doesn't even sound like a frog. It does sound like some kind of like a cricket or something.
Yeah, it's a little cricket-like, very extremely high-pitched, and you can hear them after rainstorms in the southeast in June as you're driving along in the car, but I think most people think they are crickets singing.
And next up, we have the oak toad.
Oh, yeah, it's our tiniest toad, also a species of the southeast. scarcely an inch long, and some of them really, really colorful, and it has a high-pitched peeping, sounds almost like a squeaky wheel, also very high-pitched, not at all like the trill of the American toad.
So this is a little tiny toad about an inch long.
About an inch long.
Sounds like a bird.
Yeah, it's bird-like.
Yeah.
I'm noticing at this end, too, I hear a little distortion coming along with it that's lower in pitch.
Oh, okay.
But,
now we have some. Now we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum, and this is the American bullfrog, which again, back behind my house at night, last night I was listening to him. Unforgettable sounds.
Yeah, in general, I like the sounds made by the big frogs, and of course, the bullfrog is one that's pretty well known. It's the one that goes jug-a-rum, jug-a-rum, jug-a-rum.
And this is a big frog, isn't it? And it's all over the place, right?
Yeah, it's an eastern North American species, but they've naturalized all over the country and have become a real pest, like along the West Coast, because they're voracious predators. They eat other frogs.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Yeah,
smaller, and they eat native species. So Westerners in particular aren't very excited about bullfrogs showing up in their ponds. But, of course, here in the East, it's a natural species, and it's a really wonderful frog.
Let me start playing this one, and then we'll have you comment on it. We'll see if folks can figure out what this sounds like.
Yeah, what's this next one?
And it truly sounds like its namesake. This is the pig frog.
Yeah, sounds like a grunting hog or a pig-like sound, and that's a sound of the southern swamps from Louisiana or Texas all the way over to Florida. It's also a large frog, bullfrog size, but has a different call. Oh, that little spit, that's an aggression call.
Lang Elliott, the co-author of The Frogs and Toads of North America. We've got time for a few more. This is the mink frog, which I thought sounded a little bit like making popcorn. What is the mink frog?
Yeah, it's a northern species found in the northern lake country areas like in upper New York and Canada, upper Michigan. And it does sound like somebody tapping on wood.
And then when they get going here in just a couple seconds here, listen to them.
There's a whole bunch of them. We're right in the season where they call in the North Woods. They call the most in the middle of the night, like midnight to 1 a.m. In late June or early July.
And now the crawfish frog. What is that?
Well, it's a little more uncommon species of the Midwest, I would say, from like common, well, they're abundant in certain areas in Missouri and Kentucky and southern Indiana, and they live in old crawfish burrows.
Ah.
But listen to this.
Sounds like a big frog, is it?
Yeah, it's a large frog, large with big spots, and it's quite a fabulous frog, but not easy to find the chorus of those guys. You got to be in the right place at the right time.
Let's do one more. This is the river frog. Whoa.
Another wonderful one.
Do you have a favorite, Lang?
Well, I always go back to that beautiful trill of the American toad because it makes me think of Thoreau referring to that trill as a dream, the dream of the toad. And in that diary entry, he talks about he was out surveying and he heard the sounds of the American toads coming in on the breeze. He brought it to the attention of his partner who couldn't hear it, who just didn't notice it. And then at the end of this little diary entry, he wrote, "How careful we must be to keep the crystal well of which we are made clear." of course, meaning you really got to keep yourself clear so you can hear the dream of the toad.
Lang Elliott, the book is The Frogs and Toads of North America. Lang, thanks so much for joining us. Always look forward to talking to you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
A break for CBS News, local news, and weather. We're back with Dr. Tim Garson of the University of Virginia and his thoughts about health care reform. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.